Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's that time of year again as the art world converges on Navy Pier for the International Exposition of Contemporary and Modern Art, Expo Chicago. This is the annual event that brings curators, collectors, gallery owners, and art lovers together to showcase work, host panels, and have conversations about the strength of the contemporary art world. Expo Chicago continues to be Chicago's answer to Art Basel in Miami Beach. Tonight, we've invited three prominent curators in Chicago's contemporary art scene to talk about art and Chicago's place in the art world. First, the Expo Chicago Artistic Director and also the Editor-in-Chief of the scene, Stephanie Cristello. Stephanie, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having us on.
From the Art Institute of Chicago, contemporary art curator Hendrik Folkerts. Hendrik, thanks for being here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
And the Director and Chief Curator for the DePaul Art Museum, Julie Rodriguez-Widholm. Julie, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here for Extension 720, talking about one of my favorite topics, contemporary art. Yeah, Expo Chicago. What's different about this year, or Stephanie, did you try to curate year to year, like that you try to build on what you did last year?
I would say it's a mix. You know, one of the benefits of having an international art fair every year is that you can have flexibility and agility and curating and organizing programs that are very specific to that year that feel relevant and current. But perhaps unlike other art fairs, we also work on 2 to 3 years out for more major installations, exhibitions, and alignments.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I sort of cut off some of the curatorial projects that we're working on about right now being, you know, the week of the fair and start working towards 2020 and 2021. But, you know, even a few days ago, there were a few programs that came by my desk that seemed like the perfect thing to do this year because they were relevant and timely. So we have the ability to sort of turn those things on.
Is that the idea? I, as a curator, are you thinking about what's relevant, what's right now, what's going to be the theme of Expo Chicago?
There's a mix also. You know, thematically, there's no one overarching theme to Expo. The beauty of it is in the diversity and the breadth of the programming. So, you know, for us in particular, there are a few themes that we really wanted to work on this year, and that happens within our programming, specifically the Dialogues program. We're doing a symposium on Utopia that draws together artists from all over the world, as well as curators and scholars, to talk about utopian concepts and ultimately the failures of utopia. If a utopia ever existed, it wouldn't be a utopia anymore. So we have...
Sounds like every Chicago neighborhood. Utopia, now it's gentrified.
Right. So we have these artists that were working in the post-Soviet Union, the Kabakovs, who were part of the Moscow conceptualists, and will be doing a major site-specific project at Navy Pier and also speaking about how they've addressed utopia in their work since the 1960s. And a Hong Kong artist named Samson Young, who is also doing a performance with us with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, reenacting all of the 1933 World's Fair music scores.
Oh, that's great.
So it's the music for the World's Fair, a century of progress.
Okay, can I ask my first... I feel like I get three dumb questions for this as I try to catch
you
up to the contemporary.
As many as I want.
As a curator, and that, this is for all of you, but when listening to Stephanie talk about putting together the programming and talking about Moscow conceptualists from the 60s, are these just things that you've accumulated and the experience, you know, all the different art history and what goes through it? Or is it continually like a learning process for you guys to know all about the different artistic projects that are happening around the world or throughout history and time?
I would say this is an excellent question, and it's actually both. I mean, I'm an art historian, so I have, like, you know, a framework, of course. I know about art history. I know more or less what happened when and with whom, but I also learn every day, and this sounds a bit, you know, well, but it's really true. I learn about young artists coming into the scene, making, like, new work that is about our own time, and sometimes even, and those are the most sort of, yeah, for an art historian, the most, like, wonderful sort of times that you kind of like rediscover certain historical artists who may have been overlooked for like various reasons. And that's why I think sort of the art fair in Chicago is so important here, because you get to do both. You get to see kind of, yeah, really historically like significant works such as, yeah, the sort of Moscow conceptualist, but also an artist like Samson Young, who's from Hong Kong, who's been doing like amazing work there. I got to know him a little bit like a couple of years ago, and now he's here in Chicago, which is amazing.
That's great.
I agree. I always tell people that one of the best things about my job and why I've stayed in the field for so long is because I am always discovering and learning. We are able and fortunate to be able to learn from the artists that we work with and kind of, in some ways, enter their world and their perspective on the world through their work and through the process of curating an exhibition with them. You know, I think the art fair has really become much more than just a place with booths from various galleries to see art. Really, it's a sort of become an intellectual hub for conversation and dialogue and creating connections between different areas of the world, perhaps. It's kind of a place of convening. So, yes, on one hand, it's a place where you can go buy art, but increasingly, it's so much more, and it's become ambitious in its programming, and a place for convening. I think that's really an important thing to think about. How do we come together as a city, as collaborators, as colleagues?
And we're constantly learning from each other.
You know, when you have an international art fair like this, and you are playing to an audience that's coming in from around the world, whether it be galleries, curators, and artists themselves, how much do you want to put Chicago front and center? How much does you want to showcase what's happening here to the hundreds of thousands of people that are going to come in?
Well, ever since I've been here, which is not too long, of course, but like mid-September is marked. You know, we know that sort of expo is, you know, going to happen, and the audience should definitely sort of try to set its best foot forward. And I see this with many other institutions in the city, that, you know, it's a time when you know that a large sort of, let's say, a concentration of like people and artists are coming to the city, so you want to, you know, give it all you got. And so when you go to the Art Institute, you'll see new sort of, let's say, exhibitions, collection displays, special commissions. And yeah, because we want the world to see what we do, you know, and that's ultimately what it's all about, getting people through the door and sort of sharing this wider conversation about art. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, September is a great moment for
this,
that reason.
Stephanie, put your hat on the other hat from the scene as opposed to your curator hat, but Chicago has gone leaps and bounds in terms of the contemporary art scene in the last couple of years, where it, because of Expo and because of other artists that are from here, it seems more and more that Chicago is trying to, you know, have a footprint when it comes to at least the American contemporary art scene.
Absolutely. And, you know, even from the very beginning, because all of the work that we do with the scene and the publishing and the commitment to criticism and rigorous programming is a shared sentiment, not just between Expo Chicago and the scene, but also both of these institutions, the Art Institute of Chicago, the DePaul Art Museum, and all of our other civic partners. I would say what makes the difference is, you know, from the very beginning, Expo, when it relaunched, I've been with the fair now for 7 years. It's going into its 8th edition, was not going to be a regional art fair. We wanted to be a major international art fair. But the way that you do that, or the way that, you know, we've approached it, is to have major international artists, but also looking to our own Chicago landscape and highlighting all of the amazing things that we have going on here. So whether that's artist studio visits, all of the institutions in Chicago, really supporting each other and not making it a Chicago versus the world conversation, but really Chicago is already a major part of the international art world, and it's our job to just highlight that.
I think of Chicago, and I would think that if you just looked at art like music or theater and other cultural pursuits, you would see that some of the same things that are happening to those could be happening to the art world, meaning to have a studio in Chicago can be pretty expensive. To be an artist and be able to keep a gallery in one area, whether it be River North or West Loop, it all depends on how the fluctuation of the real estate is there. I wonder how much that has an effect on whether or not Chicago is a true art scene when it has to ebb and flow based on the way that the economics of the city work.
I think compared to cities around the United States, Chicago is actually quite affordable. And I think we have a very deep, rich Chicago arts community within Chicago because of that. And there are always artists who will come to school here. We have an amazing group of educational institutions, higher education, that offer MFA programs. And so there's a very strong emerging artist scene here. Some of them go to LA, New York, and elsewhere, Berlin. But I increasingly am hearing that Chicago is very attractive because it's more affordable and because there are so many amazing mid-career and established artists here. It's a place where you can thrive as an artist, unlike some other more expensive, bigger cities. Yeah.
I think, yes, absolutely. I mean, Chicago, of the, let's say, three large American cities, is the most affordable and in development, you know? Like, it's, you really feel an energy in the city, at least I've been feeling that, like, that things are on the move here, you know? And I think artists always like to be a part of that. So I think there's one reason for artists to stay here after school or if they move here. But also, and this, I think, really, Expo has something to, you know, do with that. Like, the sort of commercial scene has been thriving as well. I would say, like, 10 years ago, many sort of Chicago-based collectors would say, okay, I buy my art in the fair in Los Angeles or in, like, New York, or, you know, I go there to buy art. But that has shifted. And from the Art Institute, of course, I meet a lot of collectors, and I really encourage them, buy in Chicago, because, A, it is better for the city, and B, you're getting a better bargain, unless you want to pay like three times as much in 5 years in like some New York gallery, you know?
Right?
Like, so I think there's really a reason to do things in Chicago at the moment.
And it's been amazing to just watch the Chicago artists that didn't particularly have commercial support in previous years now have their first studio visit with a major European gallery and get representation out of that, or their first museum exhibition outside of the United States. All of this happened in the last 3 to 4 years, where that type of exchange and connection was not available to the artists. So, you know, as much as Expo is a commercial platform, and of course, commerce has to take place with all of our galleries, otherwise we don't have a fair, my mission has really been to push the institutional and curatorial collaborations between artists and the institutions in Chicago.
Expo Chicago is happening throughout the weekend. Expo Chicago's artistic director, Stephanie Cristello, is here from the Art Institute of Chicago. Contemporary art curator Hendrik Folkerts is here as well. And the director and chief curator for the DePaul Art Museum, Julie Rodriguez-Widholm, is here as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking about Expo Chicago and contemporary art in Chicago. In studio tonight, the Expo Chicago Artistic Director, Stephanie Cristello. She's also the Editor-in-Chief of The Scene. From the Art Institute of Chicago, contemporary art curator Hendrik Folkerts and Director and Chief Curator for the DePaul Art Museum, Julie Rodriguez-Widholm. All right, it's so interesting when you guys throw around words like commercial. In other words, that I think that the layman like myself, who doesn't, I have a huge curiosity for contemporary art. I don't know all the terms, but I do know that in the last couple of years, I've been seeing more and more, whether it be documentaries, whether it be other, you know, pieces of media and stories being told about how the contemporary art world works. And it does seem to be that, you know, there's one conversation to have about the artist. There's also another conversation to have about the collector. There's also a conversation to have about museums and universities. Mm-hmm. It all kind of comes together. So do you find, Stephanie, when you're programming Expo Chicago, that you have to have specific panels or conversations for each one of those groups?
Yes, absolutely. So we have various types of programming. I like to do it a little bit differently, where the panel, you know, let's say I'm organizing a conversation, the panel would be as interesting to someone that knows about the artist and has a full knowledge, because it's going to be coming at it from a different angle that maybe hadn't been given attention before. And it's also going to be academically digestible for and approachable for any, you know, person that is interested in contemporary culture to also view the discussion and join to be a part of it. I think that that's incredibly important. You know, the art world is sort of purposefully opaque in a lot of ways. And our role being a fair is to really open that up and not dumb down the conversation in any way, but really make it accessible and show people how contemporary art relates to our everyday world and that it doesn't exist in a vacuum.
So many times the contemporary artists among us will be the ones that create pieces that are going to be more reflective of where we're living or how
Absolutely.
We're living. I think about the Art Institute as a good example, where you have very unique and specific, and I would say you have to be somewhat of a connoisseur of a certain contemporary art if you're going to go into one exhibit. You don't know the artist, but you love the art. You also have Warhol, or, you know, or what might be coming, where the bigger names that are more mainstream are going to maybe get people to take the Metro train down to Chicago. So how do you balance, both Julie and Hendrik, how do you balance that name that people are going to know to bring people into the gallery and giving exposure to the great art that someone maybe less known is known for?
I think, I mean, the Art Institute is such a big institution, right? You can see so many things there from an art history, let's say 5,000 years ago until what's happening now. And I think it is our job, and I really sort of recognize what you were saying, it's our job to make this institution as inviting as we can. And what I would always like to say that, you know, a visit to the Art Institute is an invitation to learn something new, to see something new, to maybe recognize something mm-hmm. that you had already seen in a new way. That can also be Andy Warhol, like an artist that we think we all know because, you know, he's such a major art historical figure. But I can say that the exhibition that opens in October will shed new light on his work. And that, I think, well, when I think about how we make exhibitions or when we show the collection, it's always our job to shift it a bit, to shed new light on something so that someone who's been there like 1,000 times already can still have a new experience.
Julie, I wanted to ask as a curator, how important is the layout of the art? If you get an artist that comes in, mm-hmm. let's say somebody like Andy Warhol, you're not just showing pieces of art, you're telling a story. And so how important is it as a curator to really think about the experience of the person that's coming into the gallery?
It's everything, really. I mean, we are always curating our exhibitions for the public and being accessible and clear in our thesis around an exhibition, what we're trying to say, the story we're telling. Thesis is just a different way of saying the story behind, right, the mm-hmm. exhibition. And so for us, it's both the layout, the physical layout of placing artworks within a gallery and creating a conversation between artworks on the wall, on the floor, right? So it's not just look at one piece, move on, forget that, and move on to the next piece. We're always creating a dialogue between artworks within a space. And hopefully through the writing and the didactic panels, the text on the wall, we are inviting viewers to, as Hendrik said, learn something new, mm-hmm. create connections. I tend to conceive of exhibitions when I curate them as propositions for our audiences to consider. It's not sort of an authoritative statement of this is exactly the meaning behind this artist's work, full stop, period. It's really more, I invite you to consider this work and bring your knowledge, your experience to this to have a conversation.
And I think institutions have like shifted over the years. I mean, I think maybe in the old days, so to speak, it was, you know, an institution's job to maybe tell you what good art is or what you should know somehow. And I find this shift quite interesting that it's now, okay, we're showing what we like, what we think is good. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there, of course. But when I do an exhibition, I do a lot of like tours and stuff, and I learn so much from these tours because you get all these types of, let's say, new perspective, whether it's, you know, high school kids or whatever it may be, to kind of like shift also my sort of perception on what this artist or artwork may be. So I think I would encourage everyone to step in, whether it's the art fair, the Art Institute, the DePaul, and look at what we've done, challenge that, and build your own like relationship to that.
Stephanie, I'll end with you on this conversation. You know, the art fairs, we talk about it, and I think about it. I mentioned the documentary, and I think it was The Price of Everything that was on HBO. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily, for someone like I said, like a layman who doesn't travel much in contemporary art, it was stark in the way they said, I had no idea that that's what was happening, that Wall Street was essentially trading and buying paintings like it was like it's stocks, you know, and putting them away into a closet and hoping one day it's going to mature and sell it for more. And there's these auction houses, a great documentary. But how much is that happening at the art fair? Is that what a collector's coming in and that's the idea? They're looking at this one booth and this one artist and they're going after and there's a bidding war. Like how much of that kind of stuff is similar?
Oh, well, there's a dark side to the art world. Like there's a dark side to every part of the world. There's many levels of it. I would say that the art world is incredibly warm and generous most of the time. When we're traveling around, you know, I go to almost every art fair in the world. So that's, I think I clocked like 43 or 46 art fairs.
Wow.
You win.
This year. Right. No one should go to that many art fairs ever. But when we travel to all of these major international hubs, they're all major cities that these fairs take place in or burgeoning, you know, scenes. And every time I mention that I work for the Chicago Fair, everyone's eyes just light up and say, Chicago, oh my goodness, the institutions, they're just the best. We really want to come. I've never been to Chicago. And I don't know, I would say that my time at other fairs and my experience of the art world is not this dystopian Wall Street trading side of things.
Right.
You know, it's an unregulated market, that's for sure. But there are rules. Mm. And typically what we're doing is I'm going out to artist studios and being welcomed into collectors' homes and seeing collections that I've never seen before. And all of this gives us ideas of how we can bring that work to Chicago.
It's amazing too, and we got to wrap here, but it's amazing because that documentary shed light on how much iconic artwork that we may even know, and whether it be an Andy Warhol or not, out they're not in the art
there's
institute.
A
they're
backup
in a living room
for sure.
Yeah, it's someone's living room in a high-rise condo, and you're like, ah, that blows my mind. But that's the way the art world works. Okay. So the International Exposition of Contemporary and Modern Art, Expo Chicago, is through this weekend here in Chicago at Navy Pier. The Expo Chicago Artistic Director is Stephanie Cristello, from the Art Institute of Chicago, Contemporary Art Curator Hendrik Folkerts, and Director of Chief Curator from the DePaul Art Museum, Julie Rodriguez-Widholm, all with me tonight. Guys, thanks so much for coming over.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.